Here's the robbers passing by, passing by, passing by. Here's the robbers passing by, my fair lady. What will the robbers do to you, do to you, do to you? What will the robbers do to you, my fair lady? Stole my watch and stole my
chain. Rosie Ahern! Yeah, she's been gone years. She's been around Camden Street and Wexford Street for years and years. I'm here about 10 years, and every morning I see her going up that street, and she'd know you by name. I don't know how she ever found my name, but she'd know everybody by name.
Yes, we all know Rose in Whitefriars Street. She comes into the repository every single day. She comes into the shop, the church itself, do it, go to Mass every day. She's a new joke. She comes in and tells us. Rose was a cleaning lady all her life, and some months ago we advertised for volunteer cleaning staff, and Rose was the very first to join, and she does a magnificent job every Wednesday night. The altar, she particularly takes care of Our Lady of Dublin's altar, so it literally gleams when she has finished.
Ah, yes, I know Rosie very well. I used to work her in a chemist when she was cleaning. She lives over there in Mesa House, at the end of Wexford Street. Take a right and go up to the Green. She lives in Mesa House flats there. Ah, she's a great bit of laugh.
Rose is a grand girl, grand company, and a grand neighbour.
Now I'm going to sing a song for you. Okay. What do we sing?
Rose of Killarney, sure I love you. There was never a
come on, sing.
So
I'm the conductor, come on.
Sometimes I see there's the devil in your line. Don't ever leave me, my Rosie, or I die. Rose of Killarney, sure I love you.
How are you doing?
How are you, sir? Would you like a cup of tea?
I'd love a cup
of
tea. Do you always leave the door open like that?
Yeah. I shouldn't. I'm always getting into trouble for leaving the door.
The neighbours must be good, is all I'd say.
Ah, they are. The best of the world here. Want to have a cup of tea, will you? And make it a supper. Look, I'm having my own supper.
Oh, great.
Go and sit down. I'm not able to stop. For a party after dinner. Come on.
Do you mind if we have a bit of a chat? You couldn't put off the television for a minute.
Could
you after,
yes,
after we have a bit of a chat?
Don't have
me coarse,
then.
There you are. You go on and make the tea and I'll go in with you and we'll talk inside.
Come on.
Yeah.
I want to plant a kitten anyway.
You have a grand place here.
In the grand, I have a lovely little flat. And an old gas cooker. And the old sink and everything. And a bath. But I've no hot water.
So you boil
the water. I have to wash myself up and down, you know.
But the gas cooker is great.
Do you know how old that is? Since 19, you know, my poor brother died in 1951. We have that about 1946. Now there's the kettle on.
Were you born in Mercer Street?
Born and raised in Mercer Street in 1915. Now.
So what was it like then?
That was great. Their neighbours were great.
But there weren't these flats?
Not at all. Tenement houses. You could go from one room to another in a day. You didn't have to be looking around asking the corporation to give you a place. You could walk from one room to another if you wanted it.
Would you cook on an open fire or would you have a range?
On the fire. No, you'd have no gas or nothing. On the hob.
And what fuel would you use?
Coal and tor. 8 meters out of Torf. You go over and there was a little shop in Dig Street. Sheridan's was the name of it. And you go in there and you'd... if you were short, you go over and get one side of Torf for the 1/2. Torf. And then you slack it down, you know, if you got coal then. It was only 1/6 a bag. The poor men used to be drowned coming up the stairs with her. That woman's husband next door worked in the coal. And he'd be soaked to the skin on a horse and car. And everyone knew everyone else's foot going up the stairs.
So that if a stranger came in?
Oh, you'd know. Actually, one Christmas over in the tenement house in Cuff Street, I was a divilment, you know. And I dressed up as Johnny Forty Coats. And I went up to, I lived in the house over here in Cuff Street with this woman. She was under me and I was up the top. And anyway, I knocked on her door, letting on I was begging her for Christmas. They didn't know who I was, and I knocked on the door and I said, could you spare a cup of tea or a copper? and her son got me in. Only that Tom happened to be in knocking about. He'd throw me down the stairs. Never knew who I was.
And what about light in the in
we the only had the lamps, you know, the lamps that you lit.
Paraffin lamps.
Yeah.
And at night, you didn't have television. Did you have radio or wireless?
No, we had no wireless, no television. Not in my time in the tenement houses.
And what would you entertain yourselves with?
Nothing.
Play cards?
No. Sit around the fire just talking. My mother and I used to be singing songs here before when we came over here first. Singing all those songs she'd be singing for me.
And what was your name before you were married?
Rose Kinsley. Kinsley. K-I-N-S-L-E-Y. Very distinct name.
Indeed it is. And how many were there in your family?
I often heard my mother saying there was 15, but she only read 4 of us. Yeah.
And what did your father do?
I don't even remember my father. I was 2 and a half. He died of pneumonia when he was 34.
Dear.
Now.
Wasn't she a great woman, your mother?
She was a wonderful poor old creature. Everyone loved her. Molly, they used to call her. She was great. Very good living.
So you hadn't far to go to school because you went to school...
Only across the street. Yeah.
In Whitefriars Street.
I used to bring 2 pennies. No, a penny. 1 halfpenny for little Holy Mary and a penny for the black babies.
Did you spend all your childhood around here? Would you ever go out to the sea or would you ever go...
I used to walk to Sandy Mount. Out to Sandy Mount. Great out there. It's different now, I suppose. I haven't been out there for years.
Well, here we are, Rose, out in Sandymount. Is it any different?
Oh, God, it's a terrible lot different. My blessings and saves, I wouldn't know us at all now. And you see, all that pigeon house, now nothing wasn't like that before. Now the walls, that big wall wasn't there. Do you see the tower down there? Well, we used to sit down there at the tower and we'd have great fun playing all the games and going into the shower shop for sweets and everything. We'd a great time. Marvellous.
What games would you play?
Oh, God, I wouldn't tell you all the games. Will I tell you? We used to play wallflowers growing up so high. We're all pretty fair maids and would not like to die. Especially Rosie Ahern, she is the youngest child. Oh, fife for shame, oh, fife for shame. Oh, turn your back against the game. Turn your back to Saucy Jack and say no more to me. For if you do, I'll put you in the zoo and no one else will play with you.
Good, Rose. That's very... And you'd be turning around while you play that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You have to turn your back, you see. The one that was called, it'd have to turn their backs. And then we all turn our backs together. It may take a long time.
And anything else?
And then we used to play...
Did you play shop?
Oh, God, we played shop. Oh, God, we used to have great fun playing shop. We used to get... I'll tell you what we used to play for shop. We used to get bits of glass. Little glass was broken up, you know, for money. And we'd have chainies, like bits of broken delf.
Never heard that word before. Chainies?
Chainies, yeah. Chainies. We used to call them chainies. And then we'd have a shop. And we go in and we say, the lady would call out, lambs, jams, or anything you want, mum. Buy away, new shop open. Lambs, jams, or anything you want, mum. And you'd pay your chainies for your money, you see. That was great fun. Now we used to have great fun. It was really wonderful. Did you ever hear about this gentleman was in this hotel? I'll tell you a joke, you know. This gentleman was in a hotel one time and... The girls long ago were called chambermaids that used to make the beds. So anyway, he was going away this after a fortnight's holidays and he was looking for the chambermaids, you see. So he went everywhere looking for her and he couldn't find her. So he went into one of the rooms and he found one of the girls and he says, could you ever tell me where's the chambermaid? So she lifted up the pot under the bed and she says, in our closer.
You're an awful woman, Rose.
Oh, no, what else?
Isn't it lovely here today, though?
Beautiful. Honest to God, it's like a spring day. It's gorgeous.
Rose, you were saying some of the rhymes you had out at Sandymount, but did you have other rhymes at school?
Well, we learned all the chief towns. You know, such as Cork, Bandon, Yalkinsale, Cove, Fermoy, and Mallow. And Meath, Trimnavon and Kells, and Dublin. Dublin, Dunleary, Balbriggan, Blackrock and Dorky.
Wicklow?
Wicklow, Arklow. No, that's another one. That's Bray. Wicklow, Arklow, Bray and Rathdrum.
And County Louth?
Louth, I've got to forget up that one. Omagh, Dungannon, Strabane and Cookstown. Do you know that one?
That's County Tyrone.
Yeah.
Sligo?
Sligo. Sligo, Ballymote and Colooney. And we had religious knowledge as well, such as Necabedonza. But I don't think they learned that now in school. But we learned it off by heart. Necabedonza had a dream. He dreamt that he saw a large statue, the head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the stomach and thighs of brass, the legs and feet partly earthen and partly clay. Then he noticed a stone rolling down from the mountain, which struck the statue on the feet and shattered it. And behold, the stone became a great mountain. None of the wise men could interpret his dream, so they sent for Daniel, to whom God had revealed the meaning of the dream to him. And now don't ask me what his legs and arms were.
Rose, that's great. And how far are you going back when you remember all that?
About 1926 or something.
When did you leave school?
When I was 16.
What did you do?
And then I went to work for nuns up in Golden Bridge Convent. I was house and parlour maid. And my half day was 4:15. The nuns used to get their dinner at 4 o'clock, you see. 4:15 in the evening. No, you get me to wash up and all the dishes and all after all the nuns. Well, it'd be 4:15 again, we get off. And you'd have to be back in again 8:30. And the angels would be ringing when I'd be coming down here to my mother. And I used to sleep in that time. And we had to go to 6:30 mass every morning. And if you didn't go to mass in the morning, you were brought up to the parlour, to the Reverend Mother, and you were murdered.
And if you're sleeping in, what about boyfriends?
You couldn't have a boyfriend. I never had a boyfriend till I was 27. I was afraid. If he put his hand on me leg, I'd have a baby. That's the truth. That's no harm.
And would you go dancing?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. I used to be always the first up on the floor.
And the pictures?
Yeah.
But always with the girls?
Always with the girls. I never bothered about it. I was afraid to go out with fellas.
And what made you afraid? Was it your mother or the nuns?
No, my mother was real good living. And I used to sleep in the bed with her that time. And she always prayed that we'd never do anything to disgrace our brother James. My brother's the priest, you see. And that we'd never disgrace our brother James. So I always had that in my mind. So now...
Well, was it a good life? Did you go to the pictures often?
Ah, yeah. With my poor mother, I used to bring her to the... On a Monday, we went to the pictures.
Where would you go?
And she wouldn't go to the Deluxe because she saw Bing... She used to love Bing Crosby's pictures. And this day, wasn't the summer getting into the bath. She was real innocent, you know. She was lovely. And she wouldn't go to the Deluxe anymore because she saw the man getting into the bath. That time they were very scrupulous.
The Deluxe in Camden Street was a grand cinema.
Oh, it was great. And the Camden. We used to do the folly ups there.
Where was the Camden now? I know where
up
the Deluxe
further,
is.
Where that motor car place is, you know.
Well, did you have film stars that you admired?
No. I loved Deanna Dobbin. Oh, she was gorgeous. Lovely singer. And Bing Crosby. My mother loved Bing Crosby.
Going My Way.
Yeah, every one of them ones. The Bells, St. Mary's and all them. Lovely.
Do you like music?
I love music. So I'm music mad.
What's your favourite kind of music?
Oh, not the old pop stuff. You get tired of it. You know all the old songs. I've been looking for someone to love. Someone just like you. Come on. I've been asking the stars up above, asking the stars for you. Now that I found you, dear, I'll always keep you near me. I'm lonesome, I'm blue, but when I look at you, there's one thing I know is true. I wouldn't be lonesome, I wouldn't be blue, if I had a boy like you. Do you like a decent cup?
I do.
Is that decent enough?
Lovely strong tea.
That's not so strong. Now, have that.
Come in and sit down yourself, Mum.
I'm sitting down, he's having a drink of your own tea.
You have a great wall full of photographs.
Yeah, we were going to take them down and my mother wouldn't let us, for she cries when we were taking them down, you know, so we wouldn't take them down.
I bet you that's her over there behind
you. That's my mother, yeah.
Lovely looking woman.
She was a lovely looking when she was young. Lovely. She used to sit for artists years ago when they were taking photographs with the long hair and all. She was beautiful.
And that's your father beside her?
Yeah, I don't remember him, of course.
Yeah. But she has a lovely, clear face.
Yeah, she was a grand.
I bet you she had the best of skin. Even.
Lovely, she was beautiful. She used to eat us for putting a bit of powder on.
Would she?
Yeah.
She'd never wear makeup.
Oh, no, never. And she used to wear chemises, but she wouldn't let Jordan or chemises next to her skin. He had to put it on just fresh washed. She was spotless. She was really clean. They used to come up and say, Molly, God, you have every comfort there. The people come to see her in bed.
And when did you meet your husband then? You said you were about 27.
No, I was not. I was 33 when I got married. I wouldn't go out with fellas. I went out with fellas when I was 27, but I was afraid to go out before that. But I met poor Tom in 1946. It was in the Shelburne Hall that I found him.
And the Shelburne Hall, you say, was behind...
Yeah, it was called a Swiss Chalet that time. Out there in the front, up nearer to Merion, the other end of Merion Row. It was called the Shelburne Hall.
Well, I'm sure there was less traffic in 46 here in Merion Row.
The traffic wasn't near as bad as that, or desperate it is now. It wasn't near as bad as that.
The few trams, I suppose.
And the buses, but there wasn't that much traffic.
And where exactly now was the Swiss Chalet and the Shelburne Hall?
Just behind, down there, down that. Do you see down there, where that new office is, that big office is? That's where it was.
I'd say very little of the street is left. Maybe the cemetery, the Huguenot cemetery at the bottom, and O'Dwyer's
up
there.
Yeah, that's right. They were there, yes.
And do you remember the first night you met Tom?
Indeed, I remember well. The All-Ireland Hurling Coin was on in 1946. And he said to me, if Cork wins, you see, we'd have a great night. So that was getting played the following Sunday. So Tom brought me home, and he left me outside the flats, you see. He was saying goodnight to me and telling me when he'd meet me. So he says, God, you own all that? Geez, I don't. Says, I should only live a little flat in this. So he said, I'll meet you on Sunday, says he, at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, says I, not at all. Well, says he, 7, no, says I, 8 o'clock. So says he, we'll go to the Shelburne Hall again. Over there, we'll go over there to the Shelburne Hall. So anyway, when it came to near 8:15, I was standing at the window all dressed up to go out to meet him. And then I said to my mother, I said, are you going to meet the chap or are you not? I got, no, I don't think I'd bother going, says I. He's very country looking.
Oh, Tom was from the country?
Oh, Tom was Cork, yeah. But anyway, I went to the Mansion House and I couldn't get in because it was full. And when I went up to the, I said, he'd be surely gone again this. And when I went up, there was poor Tom standing outside of the Shelburne Hall. And I never missed the nice of seeing him ever since. And he was he never said a cross word to me in his life. Now, I could go where I like, do as I like, and Anthony Todd, he was as good as gold.
You know, I thought the Dublin people didn't like the Cork people at all, and vice versa.
Poor old. No, they don't like them at here. But I had to get on with Tom, hadn't I, to live with them. They're not as good-natured.
But he was.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. Oh, sort of get a soft side of Tom. But he was good.
What did Tom do?
He worked in Glasnevin Cemetery, 28 years.
What did he do there?
Putting down the customers. And they never said thank you. Yeah, he was a hard worker.
And
then he got knocked down in 1970. Jesus. So he was 14 years like that before he died.
The job of a grave digger, though, must be a tough job.
I know, you get used to it, he said.
But the weather... Every weather you'd have to go out.
But still, he was glad to have it, like, you know. It was a great old job.
But he didn't find it depressing?
No, not at all.
Dealing with dead people all the time?
So you don't see the dead people, what are you talking about?
And how many of a family had you?
I had 3 miscarriages. Then I had this fella. I nearly lost him when I was 4 months.
Is he called Joe?
The best in the world, he is.
Mm. And he's married himself now.
Yeah, that's me wedding photograph over there.
And there's yourself, in a costume.
Yeah, a little nice powder blue. That was me poor sister.
And a great crowd of people.
Yeah, that's Tom's mother. She was only out of bed and her husband.
And this is the steps of where?
Westland Row.
So even though Whitefriars Street was your church, you had to go to Westland Row?
Yeah, we were in a parish in Westland Row Parish.
And what kind of a day was it? Was the sun shining?
Oh, yeah, the 9th of June, 1948.
Tom was a fine-looking man.
Ah, he was a grand poor devil, poor Tom.
And you've a great smile on your face, as usual. Do you remember anything in particular about the day?
Not at all. We had it up here in the house. We used to have the weddings in the rooms sometimes.
And did you dance?
Oh, yes. Then my brother, how thin he was there.
And did he marry you?
Oh, yeah, he married us. That's my other poor Joe that died. That's Morris Wall. She was a policeman. That's the lady I worked for.
Oh, you had left the convent by then?
Oh, yes. For God's sake, I didn't stay that long. A few years.
And had she a shop? Or where?
No, she had a little house out in Dun... Was it Goatstown?
So did you go on a honeymoon then after that?
Oh, we went to Arklow. We sang that night. He asked up people to get up and I got up and I sang, "Give me 5 minutes more."
You're a great happy person.
I was always happy. Everyone gets a good laugh out of me.
Never sad at all?
No, they always say, "Rosie, God, you're always laughing. You're always in good humour."
And how can you manage always to be in good
humour? That's what you're used to worrying.
Oh, well, no,
she doesn't get you anywhere.
Sometimes, the weather is
I'm
bad.
I'm always in good humour. No, I'm always in good humour. Only for me feet. I'm a little on the lonely side.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little on the lonely, a little on the lonely side. I keep thinking of you only and wishing you were by my side.
So, Rose, you spent the rest of your life, almost up to now, as a cleaning woman.
Yeah. I walked up to 70 years of age.
That's last year?
Yeah. And I enjoyed it, and I loved it, and I wouldn't go do any other work, only housework or cleaning offices or something.
Did you have many jobs?
I worked, in between I worked a lot, you know. I was 40 years with one girl. 30 in my own job, the last one I was in.
What was that?
Cleaning an office in Downs, Means and Robson's. And I loved them all there. They were all lovely people. So it was so nice. It was like a home now.
So it was work you enjoyed?
Yeah, and they gave me a great little thing coming home. I couldn't get any redundancy because I was over age. They gave me lovely Nesta tables with my name printed on them. And they gave me bouquets of flowers and a lovely dinner in the Clarence Hotel. They were really lovely to me.
Would you have ever wished for another kind of job?
Ah, no. Sure, I was rare to that. My poor mother before me and my poor sister, we all worked at housework. My mother done 2 jobs a day for 1 and 6 pence for a day's work. And she used to be hoarse coming home after a hard day's work, but still she enjoyed it. She worked in Lawler Briscoe's on the quays.
And you say your sister also?
Yeah, my poor sister too.
And you yourself have enjoyed it all your
life? I loved it. And I loved going out to the people. They were all lovely people. And that's enough to talk about me now. Come on, we lay for mass. Did you see me busy, Lizzie?
Over there at the window, it's lovely, Rose.
I talk to her too.
You do now?
I say, "I talk to me busy, Lizzie, but it listens to me." And there's lovely flowers on it. It's beautiful. I water it every 3 days with tea, raw cold tea. Well, I had one a long time ago for 10 years, and it was like a big tree. Poor Tom used to say to me, "I never saw a tree as big as that in the house."
Well, it's a lovely flower.
Isn't it nice? I'm going to bring it over to Whitefriars Street. Would you ever carry it over for me, please? And while I'm over there, I'll show you a lady of Dublin.
Good, okay, I will.
Will you do that for me?
Yeah,
because it's a bit heavy for me.
Okay.
Because it's a pity to have it here in the winter when it's so big where someone else could use it. And I took a couple of slips off it for myself again. I'll grow another one. And I told them when I bring it over that you call it Rosie, not Lizzie.
Okay, well, will we go then?
Yeah, Mom, we go over to Mass. I'm bringing that over to the chapel because it's too big.
You give Gemma a slip. Gemma wants a slip.
Oh, Catherine,
too.
We're looking for a new white flower
seed.
Huh? No. You put that in water and leave it till it roots.
Yeah.
Now, don't go near it till you see things hanging out in the bottom of it.
Yeah, I know.
She's the big one for yourself.
Look at me.
And she's the one. What the one says? Oh, she's a fella.
So here you are, Mary, and I'm told it has to be called Rose.
Not Lizzie.
Oh, excuse me, busy Rosie.
Come here, put in the pile or something. It's a pity to break.
Well, you know you're right, Rosie.
You can keep that polish.
We even have the dish. Wouldn't that be lovely on the parlour window or up on the mantelpiece or something?
Now, won't you call her Rosemary? Do you know where he brought me yesterday?
All the way out to Sandy Mountain. It'd be a great time.
Well, Rose is going to bring me.
And this lady comes all the way from Cheddenyor to clean, help us on a Wednesday night.
We clean the church on a Wednesday night.
She comes all the way from Cheddenyor.
I know, I don't live in Cheddenyor. I live on the South Circular Road.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
Well, Rose is going to bring me in now to see Our Lady of Dublin.
Yes, go in. It's an oak statue. That's why it's so dark, because it's wood. And it's inside on the right-hand side, and she cleans the porch all round Our Lady of Dublin on a Wednesday night.
And you know, somebody told me that she took all the candle holders home last week, almost 60 of them.
87? What are you talking about? 87 of them.
And you cleaned each one of them?
Yeah, brought them home, washed them, and blew me poor sore finger from them. In there. That's my altar. Isn't it nice and clean?
Oh, spotless rose, like everything you touch.
Lovely.
It's absolutely
That's
beautiful.
Our Lady of Dublin now. Have you a thing on?
Life size, rose.
Yeah, and it's made of wood. And you see, there's a hollow at the back of it. And it was in, it's the oldest statue of Our Lady in Ireland. And it was in the 12th century it was found. Cromwell came along then, and he closed all the churches. And somebody took this statue and hid it in their garden. You see? And in hiding it in the garden anyway, it was found after where the pigs was eating out of it. And it was put into a shop in Capel Street. And Father Spratt found it and he took it home here to Whitefriars Street. Now.
Well, she's beautiful.
Isn't she lovely?
Lovely, gentle face.
Really, beautiful.
But look at the child with the fist up.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
And it's life-size. She's about 5 feet and a half.
Yeah, she must be.
And then a golden crown
on
the
top. That's there all that long. Since 1915, that's there. Since the year I was born.
But it's a statue, you say, from the 12th century?
Yeah, the 12th century, yeah. And 150 years ago, Father Spratt found it. Now, Father Wheatland, come here, I'll tell you.
Hello, Rose, how are you?
How are you, Father?
Well,
nice
thank
to see you.
Hello, Father.
Hello, how are you?
Rose has been just telling me it's from the 12th century.
It's certainly has a long history, and you know, the Carmelite history only begins in 1824. That's when Father Spratt purchased it. It was on sale and installed it here first, and the present shrine is 1915, I think.
Rose was saying
that's the year I was born.
That's the year you were born.
And well, Rose certainly does her proud with the way
Rose
she
is marvellous, as all the ladies are. In fact, I'd love you to come here some Wednesday evening to see the marvellous women from the area here. And they're on their knees. Rose insists on going on her knees.
Well, sure, no better woman to
No.
And you're saying you do go down on your knees?
Oh, I'm telling you.
I used to, but I don't know.
Well,
I've got to stop getting down.
I'm glad to hear that.
Holds in my knees.
Well, no wonder, but you wouldn't take a deck scrub the first time.
I do now, Father.
Well done.
But I haven't already cleaned, you see.
Getting sense in your old age, 1915 and all that.
1915. God bless you, Father. Thanks for all the good work you do. It isn't Fannigan's clock. I'd be murdered. My brother would be down for his dinner and I'd never have it ready. I'd just make him have a rest every day after his dinner, you know, because he's cold. Will you have to do all the shopping and all, yes? Will you come with me?
I will.
Will you help me to carry it?
Come on.
Good morning, Rose.
Oh, God, Mary, how are you? And the beautiful weather,
it's lovely.
It's lovely, honestly. Hey, Nanny, have you any cabbage?
Yes, Rose, you've plenty of cabbage.
How much?
30 pounds ahead.
You must be joking.
I'll give you one of 25, Rose. Okay.
Will you?
Yes.
And a few cooking apples.
There's your change, love. God bless
lessons
you.
Lessons of Jacob's on you, Nanny. Yeah. And there's the for luck.
Now,
for Hansel.
Luck, money. Thanks very much, Rose.
God
you'll
bless
look
you.
After you. God
the
bless
best
you.
Of luck to you now.
Thanks
good luck.
Very much.
Thanks, Rose. See you tonight, then. See you as well. I'll give you a
Did you always shop on this street?
Not at all. How could I own a shop?
No, did you always shop? Get your shopping.
Always shopped in Cannon Street. Always. And we were great old neighbours. And you could leave your door open, put your key in the door and leave it there, and you could go out all day and not want to go near you. And we used to give one another a bit of dinner on a Sunday. We bring
and
in a bit of dinner.
Leave your door open now. No. Your next door neighbour is smelling what you have to go down and tell the health centre.
Anyway, you could bring in a bit of corned beef to your neighbour next door, and she'd bring you in a bit of bacon, and it was grey, and a bit of cabbage, and it was and the pig's cheek, and it be running down your cheek, your chin, the juice of it was gorgeous.
Where are we going next? Have you you've got the cabbage? Do you have anything else?
That's all. Come on. Come on, here, now we were looking for you. That's my boyfriend. And you know what?
Come here, let's tell you. You're on about the tenth time in me.
Come here, let's tell you. When it's raining, he's standing outside the door. And when it's fine, he's inside the door. And I do want to go in to look for him.
Here's Joe Dwyer down the street.
Here's Joe. Come here, Joe.
Eat the meat, Joe.
Those were the days, my friends, we thought they'd never.
Rose, look at the time it is.
We'd sing and dance forever and a day. The lively chums. Oh, God, what time is this? Quarter to 12. Jeez, man, just for me more. Goodbye, Paul.
Goodbye, Rose.
Oh, God, I'd have to run my brother be in for his dinner. Will you come up back to dinner and maybe he'll talk to you?
Oh, I will. What time?
Between 3 and 4, because I do let him lie down to have a rest. He doesn't lie down, but I let him sit down and have a rest after his lunch. I don't let anyone near him.
Fine, well, I'll see you then.
Will you do that?
I will.
Now, don't forget now. I'll be expecting you. Here. Take them home with you, a few peaches.
Oh, God, this
no,
is
take
rude.
Them
no,
home
honestly,
and a few
I will
apples.
Not.
I no, will. I have them. I don't want them. I have plenty of home.
James, Rose and I were talking about your mother. She was a great woman, wasn't she?
She was. She was a very holy woman, actually. She was there 10 years bedridden. And the father, having died in 17, left her with a big family. And the state at the time, people here in charge in Dublin, thought it would be better if we were taken into care for a few years.
Some of you?
Some of us, yeah. So we were. I was one of them. And I went to the, I think it was the nuns first, up in Drogheda somewhere, and then from there, after a certain, when you became 12, I think, you went to the brothers. I was sent to Carrickley and Leary. And I got on very well there. I studied hard, got good teaching, and it was a wonderful school. It became, later on, it became their own sort of novitiate house. But in the meantime, when my time was up, 16, I had to leave there. And I expressed the desire to go on for the priesthood, otherwise I'd have come out to the world. But they got me onto the Salesian who ordained us down, and then they looked after me. And then after that, I went to do theology in Gloucester. Spent 4 years there. And at the end of my time there, they kept me on teaching. And it was quite successful. It was in the fruit district, you know, at the foot of the Cotswolds. And I was ordained there by an Irish bishop. Then I come back to Ireland eventually.
And now you're in Crumlin?
I was in Milton Court, of course. I was Lord, the old Lord Milton's property, which came into our hands, but we couldn't keep it going more than about 8 years. I was there at the time it opened till it finished. Then I come back to Crumlin, and I'm there now, helping the parish.
And you come to Rose every day for your dinner?
I do, as far as I can, yeah.
What do you make of this sister of yours?
I don't know. She's a bit rough and tumbled, you know. She reminds me of another rose that used to be on the stalls around here in Camden Street.
Don't let her hear you say that.
No, she's all right. tough and ready.
But with a good heart.
Oh, yes, very good heart.
Actually, what else would you say?
Now, there you are. Will you be back to bring me to the bingo tonight?
And we'd have had the whole day together.
And we'd have had the whole day together.
Okay, Rose, what time?
A quarter to eight. A quarter to eight. Do not be late. Walking my baby back home. I want two small ones, yeah, because he was never up bingo in his life. So I'd be more than sorry to watch him.
Pound and pound and blow. Have you got pound and blow?
Thank
you.
Now, yeah, well, you never know.
Thanks.
Come on, now,
walk along. Is this where you went to school, Rose?
This is where I went to school, in Whitefriars Street, yeah.
And this is where the bingo
and this is?
And
this is where we have the bingo, yeah. This is where we have the bingo. Another hour. And this is Marge and Mary.
Good, hello.
Now, they're two. Their poor daddy died only a couple of weeks ago. And we have another pal comes and sits in here.
Eyes down now, our first number is 3 and 4, 34.
34, 34, the 40s are down there.
One week up, number 2, the golfer's rower, 4.
I go easy.
4 and 7, 47. On its own.
How many nights do you go to Bingo Rose?
Well, now I go on Sundays to Whitefriars Street, Mondays to Grantham Street. Tuesday to the stadium. Anyway, Wednesday we scrub the chapel. Thursday Whitefriars Street. And I don't go out Friday or Saturday.
So 5 nights?
Yeah. After all, you only spend so much. And you're as happy as Larry there played. We play rummy before the game starts. Four or five of us. For tuppence a game. And we great fun. And we growling if we don't win.
2 and 9, 29. 3 and 2, 32. 8
hole, line 80. Check
see again, Lion
Force. Check upstairs, downstairs. I didn't hear him
saying
80. Yes, he did.
2:32:45. Do you often win?
Yeah, I win an odd time now. One night there, I won £100. But the only thing is, you have to share it with. With your pals, there's 5 or 6 of us there together, and we give one another a fiver. Or we all do that, not only me now, each of us. If one wins 100, we all share it. You know, we do go for it. We all wish one another luck. Or maybe we should say, maybe it's bad luck, we should say.
So are you a gambler, Rose?
No, I used to be an old gambler. You know what I used to do? Play the slots. And you'd win one night and lose the next night, you know. I was waiting to tell you. One night I coming home from work, down to John Rogerson's Quay, and there's a place called the Fun Palace, and I had 28 pence in my hand, and I was going to get the bus before 6:30. So I said to myself, actually, I might as well spend this in here. So I was going in anyway, and there was a lady standing outside of the door, and I didn't know she had a microphone in her hands. And she asked me, do you ever win? Do you wouldn't win an argument? Says I. So she says I. The bloody old thing, says I, they'd rob you. So, oh God, says, when I saw the thing in her hand, says I, God, me brother's a priest, says, and if he hears me cursing, says I, he'll be murdered. So anyway, the next day it was on the wireless. And in being on the wireless anyway, it was me. And I said, oh, that, and when my brother came in, he comes in every day for his dinner, you know. And when he came in, I said, God, you should have heard that over on the phone. You swear to God it was me.
12, 12 and 6, 26, 4 and 6, 46.
Listen, 1, 5 and 6.
What are you going to do with it? Did you ever win before? Rose, you brought her luck.
Huh?
You brought her luck.
You get a pound.
I do not, do I?
I'm bringing him up a cup of tea now because you need the supper after being over there.
Oh, yeah.
So you need to take what you're napping up there, Nanny.
It won't be spoiled.
Don't send Paddy up here.
Paddy go up and he'd kill him.
I wouldn't let him.
Had he didn't get up this morning, if I'm asked.
What would you do if you won the jackpot at the bingo, Rose?
Oh, because I don't know what I'd do with this. I'd share this with me friends there first. Then I'd give me son some. And I'd give a bit to me brother. Share this around. You don't have much left to get any shares around.
Well, supposing you won the sweep?
Oh, genie, Mac, I don't know.
Would it matter to you?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't change my life anyway. I'd always be the one, Rosie.
Do you pray a lot?
Yeah, I do. That's one thing, I never forget me prayers. And even going along the street, I would say, six hearts, Jesus and his Holy Mother protect us all. And I bless my house every night with holy water.
All the rooms?
Oh, yeah. Go around all the rooms and bless them with holy water. Six hearts, Jesus, protect me and make me waking up in the morning, please God, if it's God's holy will. Now.
And if you had your life to live all over again, would you want to change
if
it?
If I had my life to live over, I would still do the same things again. Now.
Would you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to change anything?
No, no. So I'm as happy as the day is long.
And do you want to live a long life?
I wouldn't mind, as long as God leaves us there.
And what do you think of the world today?
Oh, bad. Desperate. It's an awful world. It was much better years ago. Do you not think so?
Well, I don't know. You seem to get enough out of it.
Yeah, I am as happy as Larry. So I've only my pension and I can manage nicely now, thank God. God is very good to us.
What about the poem that you said for me today?
The nice one. What is it all? What is it all when all is told? This ceaseless striving for fame and gold. The joy, the pain and the bitter tears. We are only here for a few short years. Nothing our own but the silent past. Joyful or painful, nothing can last. Each pathway leads to the silent fold. What is it all when all is told? What is it all just passing through? A cross for me and a cross for you. Ours seems heavy while others seems light, but God in the end makes all things right. He tempers the winds with his loving care. He knows the burden that each can bear. Then turns life's grey to heavenly gold. Oh, that is it all when all is told.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.